I mean, here's the thing. So you pick up new things, like, I don't know, you always have, I mean, we were talking about the jazz learning curve in your 50s.
Right.
But also you started trying to learn how to do a stand-up slide on the longboard when you were like 50 years old.
Longboarding itself, yeah.
Yeah. Which didn't work out. May or may not be pleased to know I have used what little information I've picked up about longboarding and the stand-up slide from you in writing, because as we've talked about, having a little bit of knowledge helps you fake it better in writing. And so I have done that. I had a character who sustained like massive head trauma, and
wear your helmet, dude.
Well, it was not through longboarding. Somebody actually
attacked
him. Yeah, and so he had been a skateboarder, and so he tries to get his skills back. And because he's in California, he takes up longboarding. And he's, like, teaching himself how to do it. And it's, like, starting over, basically.
Cool. Glad to know I could be of service there.
Yeah. Episode 21. Vampire skills and or what have you learned from me? In this episode, your hosts Steve and Mal hurtle from point A to point B while contemplating the road not taken, the road that might still be taken, and lessons learned back and forth. Strap in for the ride to Redacted. Listeners, please be advised that there are occasional cuss words in these episodes, so now you know.
And if the jazz learning curve is difficult in your 50s, so is picking up longboarding when you you did not do as much skateboarding when you were younger as you maybe should have.
As one ought to do.
Yeah.
Would be the next... So...
Yeah.
You have, in my lifetime, what?
No, you're trying to guess the next gonzo thing I'm going to take up.
Well, I was going
to
ask what you would want to learn at this point in your life. Oh. What skills have you not acquired that you'd be interested in, like, taking a class in or introducing into your life?
Let's see. Good question. Good questions. I like the questions. Mm-hmm. Next thing.
Or what are things
some
that
things.
You...
So, geez, I don't know. I guess I'm not coming. I thought this would be easy. Yeah, let me stall.
Okay.
First of all, my hands are cold.
Okay.
And
well, you are wearing one glove.
The action, yeah, because of things, logistics.
Yeah.
It's a signature thing.
Because you're the first boom operator.
Michael Jackson got it from me.
Yeah.
I see it. Don't worry about it, truck. Your underwear in a bunch. So let me stall by turning it back to you, maybe.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Take it.
Okay, when I was in, like, middle school or maybe even elementary school, I distinctly remember that I wrote out a couple of index cards of things that I was interested in learning. And I remember this because for years it was on the little cork board by my desk. There's a hawk up in that tree. And some of the things that I remember from the list were, like, psychology. I was interested in weaponry because I would read Artemis Fowl books and they would have these, like, you know, weapons, guns, things, described in a way that I was like, I don't know what the fuck they're talking about. It would be cool if I did know what the fuck they were talking about. Various other things on the list. I ended up taking classes like psychology and even forensic criminology, where we did learn about guns and stuff, in high school. Mm-hmm. I ended up taking a lot of classes. We've talked about this before where I was like, I tend to take things and I'm like, am I just doing it because it's cool? And
right.
I'm like, actually not everybody thinks this thing is cool. And in fact, everybody in my high school did think forensics was a cool class. They had to offer like a bunch of different, like a few different sessions, and seniors got priority when they wanted to take it because it was like their last chance to take it. But like, you know, I took physics and when my, or I took physics 2, which I was not required to take. And when the teacher was like, oh, what do you want to do for your final project? I was like, we should build catapults and trebuchets. And so he was like, okay. And so we did that. And everyone was like...
That was your idea.
That was my idea. And everyone was like...
the trebuchet in the basement.
Well, actually, in the last few years, I did take it apart for parts.
Okay.
But...
that's fine.
But we have most of it in the basement.
Partial trebuchet in the basement.
Yes.
And I'm sure all of our listeners have that at
home. Never leave home without my partial trebuchet.
Yeah, right.
But...
band name or
partial
improv
trebuchet?
Troupe?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I would say band name. I think it's like a grunge noise band.
Yeah.
Definitely kind of a jam band. But, so a lot of those things, like, and here's the, like, crazy thing. So when I signed up for psych in high school, I was like, it'll help me be a better writer to understand how people think. And many years later, I was like, what an autistic thing to think. Because most people would be like, I understand how people behave because I am a people and I am around other people and I observe them. And I was just like, I need to understand how the mind works because it seems to me that I've been studying other people all my life like they're exotic animals because my mind and their minds work completely differently. So I need to know what that's like or I can't write it accurately. But in terms of like things that I'm interested in that I would love to acquire as hard skills, languages is always one. That's one of my, I don't think I've ever talked about this on the podcast, but I've told you about this where I'm like, if I were immortal, if I were a vampire, there are things that I would put off forever doing because I just have forever. I'd be like, nah, you know, I'll get around to it, and I would never get around to it. And so I call these things vampire skills in terms of, like,
nice.
You're not going to live forever, so if you want to do it, you got to do it now.
Right.
So I've been, like, very casually teaching myself to recognize different models of cars. That's, like a random skill that I just think is cool. Yeah, that's a Hyundai.
Thank you.
You know, learning an instrument would be there at some point. I don't know if I'll get to it.
What instrument comes to mind?
Saxophone.
Okay.
It's just because I like jazz and because I think it'd be cool to play jazz, actually.
And you probably could use your clarinet.
Yeah, experience.
Right.
Yeah, theoretically. I mean, I could maybe pick up the clarinet again. I have a clarinet, too,
right.
In fact, in various states of usability. And typography, calligraphy, that kind of hand lettering has always been something that I've been interested in. And, like, you know, I do occasionally, like, use that. I mean, I designed the logo for The Ride to Redacted.
Right.
And so I did the typography for that, too.
The guy whose thing on Cape Cod... you and Phoenix visited.
Yes.
His name escapes me.
Edward Gorey.
Edward Gorey.
Yes.
Did typography.
Yeah, he did all of his own. He hand lettered everything. I think from the like the copyright information, you
mm-hmm.
know, on the inside.
Nice.
Yeah, I love when people do that. It's that attention to detail that just it makes me happy as an artist and as a human being on Earth. Oh, there was something else that I was thinking of. Oh, animation. If I had forever, I would do animation. I think comics is probably the closest that I'll get to that.
That's pretty
but I
good.
Have
yeah.
Well, so I've told you recently, I don't about my idea for this like children's show about
right.
like a tadpole. And
yeah.
I'm like, okay, I have a bunch of drawings at this point. I have like so many ideas. Maybe I hit somebody up and be like, hey,
yeah,
you want to make
collaborate.
This? Because it's like completely no stakes for me because I'm not going to do it. I don't care, you know?
Right, but somebody else could collaborate with you.
Yeah, and if it gets put out there, if like one day I can like, you know, pull up YouTube and show somebody, like, this thing. Even if it's just, like, one, you know, 5-minute short or whatever. Mm. That'd be so cool.
You do some boxing-related stuff.
This is true. I do some boxing-related stuff. I have done rock climbing. That's something that I wish I was better at. But it's also, like, kind of a vampire skill in that, like, if I had infinite time, I would maybe get around to it.
Well, so while all this has been going down, and thank you, and interesting, good to know.
Have you thought of
that you're
stuff?
Not a vampire, or at least you not don't yet. Think of yourself that way?
Not yet. Who knows?
Who knew? Okay, I'm learning, a lot. I remembered a thing. I do have a thing.
Yeah, go for it.
Which I've mentioned on my abortive first shot at podcasting before this took off.
Sure.
Which is, I love fraud.
Yes.
I am fascinated by fraud.
We have,
so
I think, mentioned this.
The Road Not Taken, which could even be a theme or a title of an episode.
And,
and
scam artist?
Scam
artist?
No, not committing. Not committing fraud.
An investigator.
Yes. Yes, I
insurance
just,
investigator or
no,
PI
nothing.
Or?
No, that's too corporate.
Okay.
No, FBI kind of thing. Not that I'm, you know, a huge, like, I got to be in the FBI, but I think of those as the guys who are the, you know, the first people I think of who investigate frauds and scams. Maybe not in this administration because, you know.
Oh, that little kid just put a spell on us with a stick.
Oh, thank you. Thanks. I hope it was a good one. And suddenly I became a fraud investigator.
Oh, wow.
That was amazing. I love, like, studying and the forensic idea of, like, trying to figure out, like, what's going on with this fraud and
well,
then nab somebody.
Puzzles.
I do puzzles, so, yeah. But I think it's a combination of, you know, I'm fascinated with the ingenuity of what people do in order to rip each other off. You know, some scams are quite elaborate and clever. And also, you know, the part of me which I've always kind of hated cheaters.
Mm-hmm.
I still remember the guy who cut me down.
Totally neurotypical of you.
What? You're saying it's not?
Yeah.
Really?
Neurodivergent people tend to have a very strong sense, like, black and white sense of justice and fairness.
I guess.
Which may or may not, which may or may not align with an actual sense of real world justice or fairness, but it's an internal. It's a big thing.
Still remember the tall beanpole of a guy who cut me off at the ankles in a soccer game in college.
And that guy who lied in small claims court.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, looking at you. First name rhymes
redacted.
With Barrow.
What on earth could that be?
Okay, never mind.
Okay.
Not going to dignify this with the actual name.
Jack Sparrow took you to small claims court? No, I'm just kidding.
And lied.
And lied.
And ripped me off of a big $75.
In what
Looking
year, though?
At you. Oh, this would have been... This is a while ago. This was before law school, so... It would have been, like, in the 80s, early 80s.
So $75, then, could have bought you, like, a new turntable or whatever.
It wasn't, like, life-changing amount. It was just the idea of it.
Yeah, that he lied.
Yeah. And but you're saying it's not I mean, I think most people have a sense of, like, hey.
True, but do most people remember things?
I think everybody would remember the $75.
50 years later.
Sure. I think so. We were in court. And
we'll see what the people have to say. Comment on the website, rightsredacted.com. Let us know your thoughts. We're going to armchair diagnose my dad together.
We'll put it under, is Steve... Neurodiverse. What's up with Steve? Here?
Yeah, what's up with Steve? That's our next segment. Oh, but I had a thought, which is there's kind of a through line between some of the things that interest both of us in terms of building our brand. Because I had asked you what a character who was a combination of the two of us would be like, what right. traits would rise to the surface.
Okay.
I think we're kind of together a wannabe detective novelist.
Yeah, forensics.
Yeah.
Forensics is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you want to say that's neurodivergent, I'm fine with that.
Okay. I'm not saying that specifically.
Probably not everybody is like, oh, forensics. I think your mom would totally be
that
on the team.
That sounds like a diss, but my actual mother, my biological mother and your biological wife.
Right. Well, biological wife? I mean,
well, she's not an AI wife or anything.
Right. So. She's a real person.
Yeah.
In case you're wondering.
Yes.
Listeners.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say we've asked her if she's human. She didn't answer, I noticed, which, yeah. You know.
She was asleep, but.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to do that while she's awake. Are you kidding? Then there'll be another forensic challenge coming up.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be part of it, except for as evidence. Exhibit A.
So I guess we're both interested in sort of forensics and puzzles that involve like the human mind.
Figuring shit out.
Yeah, which I think it makes sense that we've both become writers in our own ways.
Right. You more than me, I'm going to say.
Well, you're about to publish.
I am
going to
publish,
so.
Albeit self-publish.
Whatever. Publishing. Right. I also self-publish online, so whatever.
Right. To greater effect than I expect I will, as far as listener readership.
Well, I have a built-in audience because it's fandom.
But, I mean, the cleverness of some of these scams.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You know, the long con.
Yeah.
I'm there, you know, but not as a perpetrator.
No.
No. As a student investigator. So, I mean, at the age of 71, if I were to just, like, show up on the doorstep of the FBI, let's say.
What if you conned them into thinking you were a really good investigator, but you were, and you, like, you caught people, but then they look into your references later for some reason. You would think that people who investigate fraud would immediately look into your references pretty thoroughly.
You would think,
but
maybe not.
I don't know.
Maybe that's the last thing they would expect. Then Frank Abagnale. I mean, the guy who...
Yeah.
Right, who to hear him tell it kind of has done that,
but
is probably
but lying
to us about it. So many layers of lying.
Yeah.
No, this is not the way. Meanwhile, I've been thinking lately, it's satisfying to have long-term clients in my work. It's good for business, and it's also, it's a nice thing. And that's based on mutual trust. They have to trust you, and you got to earn that, and you got to trust them.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't happen if you're always lying.
Yeah.
Right. Just, okay. How profound was that?
Yeah.
Not very. On the profundity scale, I mean, nah.
2.5.
Out of what?
Sure.
100. Yeah. Okay. That was insipid. Gotta say.
They can't all be winners.
Right. Apparently.
It's about the journey. Sometimes you find out where you're going on the way there.
And sometimes you find out that you're lost when you get to a point where you go, where the fuck am I?
Yeah, sometimes you find another zero instead of a one.
I got a little beepster behind me. And does it matter? No, look, we're here. Did it really hold you back? Ultimately not. We're all going to the same place. Not literally, but...
Yeah.
We'll get there.
We are all going to the same place. That's why parking is so bad there.
Yeah. Right. Haven't done the Jim Henson voice for a while. A little rusty.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, that is a beautiful dog. Probably cost a pretty penny. Sorry. You know, shouldn't talk about a sentient being that way.
I mean, you're not wrong.
About the price?
Yeah.
Yeah. Husky.
A husky.
Not unlike what I might have been in the previous life. Was, I should say, in the previous life. My canine form.
I feel like, I mean, so you and I have talked privately about thoughts on God.
Right.
This is a little different. But in terms of, like, reincarnation, it's a huge part of one of my original stories, the webcomic that may or may not ever get finished. But reincarnation is a huge theme. And, I mean, I think that it gives people a sense of continuity that, you know, perhaps, you know, death is an unknown. Life is a known. And so the idea that after life comes more life is comforting.
Right. It's kind of like the opposite of it ain't over till it's over. This is like it ain't over till it's over, and even then it ain't over.
Yeah.
Till it's over?
It ain't over. And over and over and over.
It ain't gonna be over.
Yeah.
But then if you look backward, mm-hmm. to think, like, where were you before? That's like a whole yeah. other...
Where did you come from? Where did you go?
A whole other can of...
Where did you come from?
Reincarnated worms. Yeah.
Yeah. It past statistics to try and predict future ones. Past trends.
Mm-hmm.
It's like... The past part, understanding the past, that's like... That's hard enough. You know, understanding why things happen the way they do.
Mm.
And then to use it to predict the future when there's so many other factors that you have no idea about.
I think on a given day, I'm grateful if I can even figure out what just happened.
What day it is.
Let it alone trends.
Sure, yeah.
What just happened? Like,
yeah. Asking myself profound and deeply challenging questions such as, what did I have for lunch yesterday?
Right. What the fuck was that?
Yeah. All right, so wait, as we are starting to tie stuff up,
yes.
tie things up.
Okay.
What's something that you made an effort to teach me as a child, teach your children, that you were like, this is important and I want them to know this, whether it was a life skill or not?
Okay, all right. I mean, my immediate reaction is I feel really bad and guilty. I'm just like, oh, was I supposed to do that?
I can tell you what I
yeah.
feel I, like is perhaps
you,
the
you
most...
Just remind me what it was.
The most valuable thing that I have gotten from you, and I think I've said this before, but you and Mom both do this, but I think of it more as a you thing because Mom has a slightly different version of this that she does more often. But you will remark upon things that you find just... special or noteworthy in and of themselves, not necessarily for any reason. You'll just be like, nice sky or
right.
whatever.
Okay.
You know, just remark upon a thing and call someone's attention to it. And I think that's a valuable... you know, way to move through the world. What? Why are you laughing?
No, I'm just laughing because I like now, speaking of cons, I'm very tempted to just, oh, yeah, I'm going to take total credit for that. Yeah,
I think it's...
Yeah, I knew I was teaching you something
No, I
important.
Don't... I didn't think that it was a thing you I consciously
didn't think about,
instilled
yeah.
in,
yeah.
in
yeah,
me.
Yeah, all right.
But it's a part of you, part of your character that
right.
I appreciate because I find myself doing that to people and I find other people not doing it.
Well, no, I mean, a little more seriously and less snarkily, I can see where that... I have a vague awareness like that. I could see where that would be a good thing for a parent or anybody to do. Like, notice.
Yeah.
Don't go through life without noticing this beautiful sky, dude.
Sure, yeah.
You gotta notice the
it's about
beauty.
The journey.
Yeah.
Speaking of, look at this nice purple door, and there's a little green, like, tendril next to it.
I never would have seen that because I was driving.
Yeah.
now I'm going to hit something.
And now you're going to hit something.
I didn't see the tendril, though. I'll take that on faith.
Yeah.
Tendril.
Tendril.
That's a band name.
Tendril. Probably.
Back in the day, the 70s, when mm-hmm. it really
the
everything
day.
Mattered, there was a band called Mandrill.
Okay.
Which is a kind of primate.
Ah.
So why couldn't there be Tendril? That was the vegan version.
That was their 10-year-old daughter's, like,
yeah.
making cassette recordings on her little thing with a plastic microphone.
Cause anyway, 10.
Cause 10.
Yeah.
I think that would be cute, actually.
So.
And what have you learned from me?
I mean, where do I start? We don't have time. I mean, the
listen to the last.
18
episodes.
You have to learn to do hard things. I won't even say I've learned it. I'm just like, it's on my list.
Yeah.
Whoa. I love that. You got to learn to do hard things. A lot of life hacks, a lot of the things that you've been talking about, learn from you. I got to think about this. I mean, your state of being has elements to it that I admire. You're welcome.
that is kind of what I said to you, too.
Talk to your therapist about that. And among those are a kind of... Well, I mean, I don't think I could learn this. You're observant. And you're also, I think, good at... despite your claims to the contrary, you seem good about understanding people and relating to them.
Well, it's taken me a long time to get to this place.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're ahead of the curve, frankly. But I don't know. I don't want to rush this.
Okay, think on it.
Yeah, all right. We'll just have to start it there. It's much like the current state of your trebuchet. It's partial.
Mm-hmm. Partial trebuchet.
Yeah. In this case, still a work in progress rather than a deconstruction.
Sure. A deconstructed trebuchet is what we have for you today.
Yeah. All right. You know what? I'll just pull over here.
Yeah. As long as there's not a fire in the next 5 minutes.
Which... Yeah. And even if there is.
Yeah. How bad could it be?
Right. Yeah. Just give me the hose. I'll hook it up.
Okay.
All right. Good job.
Good job. Cowabunga.
Thanks. Cowabunga. Always a pleasure. So, I'll turn this off.
Wait, I love you.
I love you.
Get home safe.
Let's say that again at the same time.
I love you. Get home safe.